Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. We are down to the Final Four. The conference finals are here. Indiana battling it out with Boston. Denver dueling with Dallas. BetOnline has you covered with all the odds, props, promos, and parlays during the conference finals. And if you use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, when you sign up with the link in the description of this episode, you can claim a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Good evening, good afternoon, or good night, however and whenever it is you may be listening. Thank you for stopping on into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy podcast, live on the Bleav Podcast Network, except it isn't live because it is, as always, a podcast. And podcasts aren't live. It's the whole purpose of this podcasting thing. You can listen however and whenever it is that you so choose. We appreciate that you have decided to stop in however and whenever it is you may be listening on this fine and fantabulous Sunday, May 19th, 2024. We had all the elimination basketball games this weekend, except for Boston, who kicked the ass of Cleveland, who also got hurt, and that series wasn't really all that important. But the important series, we had the winner-go-home games this weekend, and so we have three individual Take It Easy podcast episodes coming at you here. This is number two of three for the weekend. If you want the breakdown of Dallas and Oklahoma City during and after the final 2 minutes of that series, you can get that on Wired Up episode 161. And if you stick around on this podcast feed, maybe by the time you're listening to this and you listen right above this episode, you'll have Game 7 between the Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets available at your viewing discretion. So this is our second saga of breakdown. The Pacers and Knicks played Game 7, a series that both teams are not as good as Boston, and we articulated it last week. Like, Boston, Miami, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee have historically been the four best teams in the Eastern Conference over the last 5 years. If I were to rank them in order, it would go Miami 1, Boston 2, Milwaukee 3, Philadelphia 4. But those have consistently been the teams you come to expect in the second round of the playoff every single year. And this year is kind of the transition period between old guard and new guard stars. And the reason I say old guard and new guard is that all those other dudes got hurt. 34-year-old Jimmy Butler injured. Miami's playoffs were doomed before it ever started. Milwaukee, Giannis, now 30. Damian Lillard, 34. Both of them got hurt early and often in their first year together. Philadelphia, Joel Embiid was playing through a torn meniscus, Bell's palsy, and migraine headaches when Philadelphia fell admirably against the New York Knicks. And so you got this whole fun new crop of younger stars or in their prime stars dueling it out in the second round of the playoffs. You got Donovan Mitchell and the Cavaliers getting to the second round of the playoffs. You had Jalen Brunson, this breakout star in his mid-20s in a way that I don't think we've really seen in recent years in the NBA, where Dallas did not sign him to a four-year, $60 million contract. The Knicks did not sign him to a max extension, and yet he had consistently been one of the best players in the Eastern Conference, despite the fact that he's also a small guard. And small guards typically do not hold up in the wear and tear of the NBA playoffs, especially at the usage rates of Jalen Brunson. More on that to come later. But you have Brunson leading the Knicks for the second year in a row into the second round of the playoffs after the Knicks beat Cleveland the year before. And we're kind of the fourth team out of four to get to the second round. Like, if New York had had to play Miami in the first round instead of the second round, I think New York probably would have gotten bounced in the first round. But this year's Knicks team was legitimately one of the three best teams in the Eastern Conference, made those strides to get to the next round. And then you have, of course, Pacers with 22-year-old Tyrese Haliburton leading the charge for them. Tyrese Haliburton now, because he was a second-year player, so he should be 23 years old if my math is correct on Mr. Superstar Tyrese Haliburton, formerly of the Sacramento Kings, 24. Okay, so he did just turn 24 at the turn of this last year. That's right, because he's the February 29th baby. So this is a leap year. So 24-year-old Tyrese Haliburton, 27-year-old Jalen Brunson, and 27-year-old Donovan Mitchell leading the charge into the next round of Eastern Conference stars, all of whom would have gotten smoked by the Boston Celtics, but the one who ended up emerging, the Indiana Pacers, after a 6-game start to the series in which games 1, 2, and 3 were awesome. In every single game, the team on the road had a lead in the fourth quarter and blew that fourth quarter lead to the home team, which created for some awesome like crowd shots and excitement. TJ McConnell hit that game-winning shot in game 3. The Knicks had this awesome charge back in game 2 that kind of established like, hey, yeah, we know that we are clearly the better team than the Pacers. The Pacers are only here because Giannis Antetokounmpo got hurt and Damian Lillard got hurt, and it still took them 6 games to put away the Bucks, so we can put away this team, probably go up 3-0, but then TJ McConnell hits that shot, and it's 2-1, and it's this really exciting series. And then games 4, 5, and 6 are just not interesting at all. Like, no, just 45 points the Knicks trailed in game 4, 30 points the Pacers lose by in game 5, and in game 6 the Pacers won by 13 in a game that wasn't really that close the whole way through and through. So you just have blowout after blowout, and then compounding that fact is, oh by the way, Tyrese Haliburton is now battling injuries, OG Anunoby is out for games 4 through 6, Josh Hart has bruised ribs that he's trying to play through in this entire series, and the thing that we laughed about last week with the New York Knicks, which was like, hey, Tom Thibodeau played his players like 58 minutes a game all season long, completely wore out their bodies, including a short lineup that he was running, and short, I mean, in physical size. Josh Hart is the leading rebounder in the NBA playoffs, despite the fact that he's a 2-3 guard / forward in height. When he came into the league, he was a 2 guard with the Lakers. He now plays more of 3 and at sometimes 4 on this Knicks team, depending on what they do with Anunoby. But that is a 2 or 3 guard that is pulling down 12 rebounds per game. So you have an undersized forward who is their essentially power forward. You have Jalen Brunson, an undersized guard, who is getting the predominant number of their shots. Like, this is a physically small team being put in a lot of minute-rich situations, and so it was inevitable when the soft tissue injuries start popping up, or Jalen Brunson has a foot injury that clearly hampers him the rest of the series. I mean, from when Brunson had the foot injury in Game 2, let me just pull up the numbers here. So he had 26 in 38 minutes in Game 3. In game 4, he scored 18 points, and it was a blowout, so they kind of took him out near the end of the game. And in game 5, which remember was the game that the New York Knicks blew out the Pacers, that game he put up the 44, and then in game 6, Brunson ended up putting up, if I remember, 31 in 38 minutes. I don't have the shot numbers here, which would have been more valuable than putting up just the pure numbers. I can probably pull that up real quick just to see Jalen Brunson's stats and see. Okay, so here's the shot numbers from the games that he got hurt, which was game two onwards. So it was 26, 17, 35, 26. If I'm doing quick math in my head, that's 104 total shots. He made, let's see, that's 45 out of 100. So shot roughly 40. So 45 for 104. That's roughly 42% from the field. During the regular season, he was a 48% shooter from the field. So even though the numbers were there, I was correct in my assessment. Because watching these games, I felt like something was off there. But yes, from when Brunson got hurt in game two with the foot injury, in games two through six, or sorry, games three through six, because he got hurt in the first half of game two, and then played games three through six with a clearly injured foot, Brunson shot 42% from the field compared to his 48% regular season average. And from the three-point line, Brunson shot, what is this? 2 for 6, 0 for 5, 2 for 6, 3 for 8. So if I'm adding up those shot numbers, that's 25 shots. He made 7, 28% from the three-point line compared to a 40% three-point clip during the regular season. Clearly the New York Knicks' best player suffered an injury that debilitated his ability to impact the game in the way that he had against the Philadelphia 76ers and the first two games of the Pacers series, where people were legitimately saying this is the best player in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And from when he injures his foot onward, you see a lesser version of Jalen Brunson from games three through six onward. Josh Hart has bruised ribs. They already lost Mitchell Robinson for the season, so Hartenstein is playing significant minutes, and Hartenstein was legitimately unplayable in game seven against the Pacers, where he had like 0 points and three fouls within the first 12 minutes of the first half, and they were already down 18 points by then. Hartenstein had to fill in. He was legitimately unplayable. Alec Burks had to come in and play. And even the guys who did power through, which was Anunoby in game seven, Josh Hart for the whole series, Brunson for the final five games of the series, even the dudes that powered through the rest of the series were clearly lesser versions of themselves for the New York Knicks. And that's ultimately, I think, the reason why the Knicks are going home at this point, but it's not the reason why the Pacers beat the Knicks, if that makes sense. Like, Brunson getting hurt, Hart getting hurt, Anunoby getting hurt, I think is the difference maker between them winning that game 3 and going up 3-0 versus being 2-1, and then they get blown out in game 4 without Anunoby. But if they had gotten that game 3, they win this series with or without Anunoby, because they would have won game 5 back in New York. But what I think is so interesting from the Knicks' standpoint there is that injuries explain why the Knicks lost, but it doesn't explain why the Pacers won. Because the Pacers had injuries to McConnell. They had, obviously, Matherin's been out for the season. And Tyrese Halliburton was battling ankle injuries the whole way through these series. And the Pacers won Game 4, Game 6 to a lesser extent, and most definitely Game 7 by doing the thing that the Pacers do incredibly well, and that is varieties of offensive options that make it so when they're hitting shots, everything looks like one of the most efficient offenses in the NBA. This was the same thing the Sacramento Kings had going for them last year. One of the most efficient offenses in NBA history that is contingent on four or five players being healthy and connected at, like, hitting shots simultaneously, at least two of the three of them. The Pacers hit 22 of their first 27 shots to start the game and finished with 130 points. That was the most efficient offense in NBA history, one of the most efficient offenses in the history of the NBA, executing at their best level, because the Pacers were second in the league in an offensive rating this year, only behind the Celtics team that's going to beat them in five games in this next series. And I say five because Boston's going to piss one of these games away. Just ridiculous way Boston's going to piss one of those games away. But the Pacers did what the Pacers did best, and ultimately, I didn't think that was going to be good enough to beat the New York Knicks in a seven-game series. It was going to be good enough to win multiple games. And I think regardless of how the series goes, the Pacers win that game 4 and that game 6 maybe they never get to a game six, but they beat the Knicks one out of every three times, because one out of every three times the most efficient offense in the NBA is going to beat one of the better defenses in the NBA. That's just going to happen. And the New York Knicks did not have the level of offensive production that they needed to beat the Pacers running away, right? Like the Knicks were not good enough at both things to crush the Pacers in a way that I think Boston is about to crush the Pacers, even if Kristaps Porzingis doesn't even play in that series. Because Boston can do both things, offense and defense, well enough to beat the Pacers even at their best offensive game. Because Boston has an equally proficient and elite offense as the Pacers. And even at the Pacers' very best, Boston can go toe-to-toe offensively with the Pacers, which is something that the Knicks weren't going to be able to do. And the reason why I thought that series would get to six games before the Knicks ultimately ended up winning the series. And at the end of the day, the Pacers did what the Pacers do best. Tyrese Halliburton ended up having, in this series, if I go back and look at his game logs here, Tyrese Halliburton, in the games that the Pacers won, ended up putting up, if I have his points and assist totals here. So in the games that they won in this series, Tyrese Halliburton put up, let's see, 35, 20 in the blowout. So let's see, 35, 20, 15, and 26. If I take those averages, that's 24 points per game, higher than his 20.1 average for the season. He, in assist totals, he put up, 6, 9, 15, nice, 7 and 5, 12, 27 divided by 4, about 6 and change assists a game, which is much lower than his average for the season, which I was a little bit surprised by. He didn't have a single double-double in the entire series, but 24 points per game is an increase in average for Halliburton, and obviously small sample size, but that was kind of the thing they were asking him to do later in the series. I mean, he stunk it up in game one, but ultimately the rest of the series, Tyrese Halliburton was a scoring machine. And if I look at his shooting numbers here, Tyrese in these games would be, so let's see, that's 45 shots plus 29, that's 74 total shots made. 16 plus 22, 38, so 38 for 74, that's a 51% shooting rate from the field, higher than his 47.7% for the season, and he ended up hitting, let's see the averages here, Tyrese ended up getting 6, 4, 3, 19, for 20, 30, 46, 19 for 46, that is roughly 40% from the three-point line, and he shot 36.4% for the season from the three-point line. Tyrese Halliburton was an efficient scorer at higher rates than he was anticipating in the series, despite the fact that he did not have a single double-double in any of the games in that series. It was a great job by the Pacers to score points, because you look at Miles Turner getting double figures in every game that they won in the series. You look at McConnell having the huge game three and the huge game six. The game four obviously is the anomaly because of just how dramatic of a blowout it was, but that's the same kind of thing that happened in game seven, right? It's that when the Pacer offense executes at its highest level, they will win games against even the best teams in the sport. Now, not the best team in the sport, which is Boston. They will win one game that Boston fucks up, but they will win games in the, they will win games against similar opponents like the New York Knicks, despite the fact that in the regular season they were the sixth best team in the Eastern Conference. And if you would have asked me a team that would have been my first pick to lose in the first round, it was the Indiana Pacers going in. And I think sixth is about fair in terms of how good the Pacers are, because when we talk about the four teams that have consistently been at the conference finals each of the last 5 years, Boston, Miami, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. Three of those teams, you can explain away their regular season and postseason woes by injury. Jimmy Butler, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Damian Lillard, and Joel Embiid all suffer injuries that make it so that they are not higher seeds and push the Pacers, for example, who, you know, Tyrese Haliburton battled injury this year, but had remarkably better luck in terms of injuries than those teams when push came to shove. The Pacers didn't have to go through the play-in route, which is normally the path that you take when you're a team that has never made the playoffs before. Tyrese had never made the playoffs at any point in his career. Siakam had not made the playoffs as presently constructed by this team. Miles Turner hadn't made the playoffs since Sabonis was there. Like this, Rick Carlisle had not gone to the playoff with this core of the team. And so when you have not had those playoff successes yet, one of the interesting things is that they got remarkably good luck with injury, but they also coulda, shoulda, woulda been able to. Like, the Pacers are the sixth or seventh best team in the Eastern Conference as it stands right now, but they got past Milwaukee because of Milwaukee injuries, and they got past the New York Knicks by a combination of injuries and doing the things that they are great at, which is efficient offensive execution, doing that enough times to win a seven-game series or sneak out a seven-game series. Because the Knicks losing this series is going to go down as an upset, but the reason you can explain it away for the Knicks is because of the injuries to Brunson in Game 2, to Anunoby, who missed three games in the series, to Hart, who was playing through the rib injury, to Mitchell Robinson being out. The same way that you can explain the Bucks losing, the Sixers losing, the Heat losing, injuries, and at the end of the day, the Pacers are the healthiest team that still coulda, shoulda, woulda lost that series. I mean, they were a minute away in Game 3 from losing this series in five games. Indiana goes on to win four of the final five games of the series, three of which happen to be on their home court, and three of which happen to be and the final three of which, Game 4, Game 6, and Game 7, happen to be complete no contests in which their offense blows out a New York Knicks team that got injured at the end of the season and still should have won the series. Both things can be true. The Knicks got injured, and the Knicks still should have won that series because they were a better team than the Indiana Pacers. But the Pacers get to go to the conference final because the Pacers did the Pacers were true to the things that they do incredibly well, and that is beginning and ending with the offensive execution at one of the highest, most efficient rates in the history of the NBA. And in that Game 7, they came out, beat the brakes off the Knicks early, and never looked back. Didn't matter how many points the Knicks scored after that fact. Did not look back. Once you had a slightly less productive Jalen Brunson, a slightly more productive Tyrese Haliburton in terms of scoring, that was the good enough figure to close the gap on the New York Knicks to put the Indiana Pacers in a position to win four out of five games and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals, despite the fact that they're like the sixth or seventh best team in the Eastern Conference this year. But that doesn't matter. We talked about this years ago with the New York Football Giants. Just because you bullshit your way to the Eastern Conference Finals doesn't make it any less of an Eastern Conference Finals. Same thing with the Atlanta Hawks that year that Trae Young and them upset the Philadelphia 76ers. Just because you got a bullshit Eastern Conference Finals doesn't mean the Eastern Conference Finals didn't happen. Same thing with the Lakers last year. Just because the Lakers got to the Western Conference Finals and got swept out by the Nuggets, despite the fact that they were clearly a bullshit team last year, and clearly the seventh best team in the West, because they were the seventh seed last year, the seventh seed this year, and look at the dichotomy of results. Lost in four games against the Nuggets in the Conference Finals, lost in five games against the Nuggets in the first round. The Lakers were basically the same team last year as this year, seventh best in the Western Conference. We have a pretty consistent sample size that says the Lakers are the seventh best team in the Western Conference, and yet they made a bullshit conference finals in 2023, but who cares whether it's bullshit or not? You still get to go to the conference finals. Even if you get the brakes beat off of you by Boston, you still get to go to a bullshit conference finals, and a bullshit conference finals is just as good as a regular conference finals for a team that actually has a chance of winning a championship. So no disrespect to the Pacers when I say that the Knicks still should have beat them even with all the injuries and even with the decrease in production from Jalen Brunson. the Pacers beat them because the Pacers are really good at executing offensively, and the Pacers are good enough to beat a team like the New York Knicks one out of every three times or two out of every five times just by virtue of their incredible execution on offense. Don't take anything away from them. It was just a bullshit run to the conference finals. And bullshit runs to the conference finals are just as good as regular runs to the conference finals if you're a fan of that team. Heck, out here in Sacramento, Sacramento was one game away last year from that same kind of run to the conference finals. Sacramento could have been the team that got swept out by the Nuggets in the conference finals. They just needed to beat the Golden State Warriors, a team that they were clearly better than in that game 7 last year in the first round. But the Pacers got through the Knicks the same way that the Kings could not get through the Warriors, and the same way that the Lakers were able to get through the Warriors, because if the Lakers had played the Kings last year in the playoffs, the Kings would have beat the Lakers. But in the same way that the Lakers were able to get through the Warriors, the Lakers got a run to the bullshit conference finals. The Pacers got a run to the bullshit conference finals. But both are going to go down in history as equally impressive runs to the conference finals. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for stopping in here to the Take It Easy podcast. Again, Nuggets Timberwolves Game 7 breakdown. That's coming at you on this feed as well. Stay tuned if you want to listen to the Mavericks and Thunder breakdown that we did on Saturday. That's available on the feed. Lots of other playoff basketball content available here. We will talk to you again soon. And in the meantime, take it easy.